This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
This is Joy 94.9 on Triple Bypass here for another Tuesday night. Welcome to our show. I'm Anthony.
I'm Christina.
And I'm Ruby.
And you heard Alicia Champion just then singing Bye.
It's a good one, isn't it?
Bye, bye, bye.
I'm so bye. I hope it's like, you know, that song that's like, you know, ma. And then it's like, wait, this isn't going where I thought it was going to go. It's getting even better. Turns out there are a lot of songs about bisexuality.
Yes.
Yeah.
And nobody really knows where bisexuals are going to go anyway, are they?
It's true. We don't even know, I think. It's all some fun gamble.
It is a fun gamble. And if you want to gamble with us tonight, feel free to send
gamble
us,
with our lives.
Gamble with our lives. Actually,
we've sensibly. Got, gamble sensibly.
We have an interesting show lined up for you tonight because we are, as always, talking about bisexuality, but we're talking about bi advocacy, bi activism, bi exhaustion.
Mm. Yeah, we're getting a little bit tired.
What does that mean? Is that what it means?
Advocate exhaustion. I think burnout is another way of putting it, maybe. Yeah. Like,
bi fed up.
Yeah. So, well, not bi furious, the thing that comes after that. Like, yeah.
That's bye, I just can't do it anymore.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye, fatigue.
Yeah, I like that too. Because I think a few of Christina and I both had read an article that was, I think, on the Huffington Post that was basically saying, you know, my gay and lesbian colleagues, I'm out of here.
Mm.
And it was basically a bisexual woman saying, I've been part of the community and working with the community for a long time, and I'm really tired of how I've been treated and how my bisexual friends have been treated and how little effort has gone into making us ever feel comfortable. Mm. And I'm just done. I'm just tired of it. So I'm going. And it's interesting because, like, I can imagine that much like people get fatigue around the news cycles and around advocacy in general, around, like, you know, environmental fatigue. That's a big one for the scientists who are studying and are just like, why is no one listening to us?
Yeah.
You know, it just gets to the point where if people just keep on, if you keep yelling and you just keep on being ignored, you lose your voice.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good analogy. And I found that one of her points was quite touching, is that we've been fighting for the LG community. Mm. We've been up there at the rallies and we've been fighting for equality alongside the LG community for so long. And it feels like...
From the beginning,
yeah. Well, like you said earlier today, Mardi Gras was started by a bi woman.
Thank you, Brenda Howard.
Yeah, exactly. Well, not started. Like, she's one of the big founders.
Well, one of the, like, big founders,
exactly.
Yeah.
The mother of Pride. We've been, you know, we've been hanging out at... there were bisexual people at Stonewall who were involved in the riots there. And, yeah, so I think as... You're right. It was just kind of, we've been there the whole time. And what do we have to do at this point?
Yeah.
But that being said, we are on the radio. So clearly something's gone right. So thanks to everyone who came before us to help carve out this little space here for us.
Yeah. And hopefully being this show can help rejuvenate some of our bi allies, bi family members to keep fighting the good fight. But if you want to get involved in this conversation and tell us about your bi fatigue or bi exhaustion, feel free to send us an SMS on 0427 joy949. Send us an email onair@joy.org.au.
Twitter?
What else? They can tweet us.
Can Twitter?
Triple bypass.
Tweet. What the hell is...
you understand. Anthony.
Or our Facebook page. Go to Joy...
Triple bypass on Joy
on
Facebook. And we're just triple bypass on Twitter because James got in fast and managed to get us that
snag
little
that one.
Moniker.
Yeah. I'm just bi-exhausted of social media, so...
It is exhausting, actually. I think I have, like, 2 Twitter accounts, 3 Instagram accounts. Not because I'm so fabulous, but because of my business and having to do other things. It's just like, oh, I don't know.
And I guess, like, it's a similar thing in that you just kind of get tired of having to repeat yourself on social media, or tired of having to pick carefully what you broadcast. And I think, and I guess for me, the exhaustion comes from the fact that it's coming from what is supposed to be our safe place. Mm. So, you know, we can get tired of having to yell and march in the streets and tell straight people, you know, please stop being shits. you know, hey, Coopers, that's not funny, you know, as has been quite the hot topic over the last few days. And I think, but that was kind of it, wasn't it? People were angry because they were saying that the debate around marriage equality should be like, you know, just be lighthearted. And it's like, it's actually, you can never be lighthearted when you're arguing about your rights and your right to exist and your right to be treated fairly.
But lighthearted, it's an interesting, I would call it a tactic. It's an interesting tactic by dominant groups because it's a way of silencing us and it's about softening the message so that they don't have to be so confronted by it.
Yep.
So when I hear shit like that, that really rolls me up.
It's also a little bit like gaslighting. It's kind of like, no, I think you're overreacting. I think you're being a little bit too sensitive to this issue. So perhaps you should like calm down.
I don't think it's what you say it is.
Yeah, exactly. Which
I would know because even though I'm not a queer person, I've never experienced homophobia, I know a lot about it.
Yeah.
And my experience of it is more important than you who have lived it.
Yeah.
I personally, as a privileged straight person who's white probably as well, know all about, you know, your repression.
And let me, as a privileged white male, make some laws around this.
Yeah.
I know all about it.
We've been doing this forever, guys. Let's not break a good formula. Good formula.
Let's just stick with tradition.
But we all have examples of bi exhaustion, and we all sort of have to, I think, for our mental health, decide on the times that we will speak up and when we don't. And the times that we don't, we're here to have a look at those times when we've just felt fucking exhausted, bloody tired of doing it.
Mm. And also I think there's the fear of, because it's harder for me to speak out with gay and lesbian people or with trans people. Like it's harder for me to say, actually, that's not okay what you just said, or you've missed something, because it does feel that having to deal with their frustration and their anger is harder than dealing with that of a straight person. You expect it from a straight person. You expect them to be like, oh, I think you're overreacting. I don't think it's that bad. And having to sit there and be like, well, here are all the reasons why. Well, it's more just like, you should know.
Yeah.
And I know, understand that you don't, but you should also understand that you might not get it if you haven't experienced it, and that you should be open to listening and believing me when I tell you it's happening.
Mm, that old thing, eh? Believing.
Yeah, listen
believing
and believe.
Yeah. Listening.
There's also this thing that's happening that's had like a resurgence in the last couple of years of this I'm stating my opinion thing. It's like, so you say something that actually could be potentially very damaging or prejudicial or offensive to the other person. When the other person responds to that, like, you know, that the response to that is, oh, I'm just giving my opinion, you know, you're getting all like all up in my face and it's just my opinion. It's like, well, okay, where is the line that we draw between giving your opinion and having a right to state your opinion?
Apparently it's pedophilia. Isn't that the example we had with Milo Yiannopoulos? Like, you can say whatever you want, but just don't talk about pedophilia.
Oh, really?
That's the line.
Wow.
That's the line. But, of course, it's different because you're absolutely right. That line seems to change depending on what's convenient. It's like
because the response to the HuffPost article that we wore on this page that I think both Lucy and...
Oh, you read the comments.
I read the comments.
Never read the comments.
I know that. And every single time I do it and I'm sitting there crying, going, why am I doing this? But I saw that happen. Like, there was a bi person that said, well, actually, this is what we feel. This is what we experience. And a gay person was saying, well, you bisexuals are this, 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 and this, and this. And then there was a response to that. And the person who made that comment was like, well, I'm just stating my opinion. And you're jumping on it. So what, I can't state my opinion now. And it's kind of like, well, how can we ever have... Are we not allowed to get angry? Are we not allowed to defend ourselves because we're going to be labelled as being, I don't know, bell ringers or whatever?
True.
Where is that line?
And it's dressed up as freedom of speech.
This
permission I have now to insult you in any way I like.
It's political correctness gone mad. That's the trendy one now.
Yeah.
It's like, I thought it was just called being nice.
Yeah.
Or being polite or being considerate. Yeah. I don't know. Mm.
Yes.
I don't know. But I just don't understand where, how we can even begin to resolve this if the response that we get to our responses is, you know, you're not being fair to my opinion.
I guess, we can explore that further, I'm sure.
Yeah, we can.
We will. We're going to talk about that tonight. So get in touch, folks. Share. I reckon that one way to handle bi exhaustion is to share the load. It won't feel so tiring. So get involved with us tonight, 0427 Joy 949. Email us at onair@joy.org.au. We're going to have a break.
And can we have a bit of a boogie?
Yeah, let's have a boogie.
Boogie's always good. Stay tuned, guys.
Yes, you're on Joy.
Hey, this is Rhodes, and you're listening to Australia's LGBTI radio station, Joy 94.9.
Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9, and you're here with Anthony.
And Christina.
And Ruby.
And we're talking about bi-exhaustion. We're hoping we don't tire you out as you listen to this. We hope that you're paying attention.
I had a bit of a boogie to that one. It's a nice chill song.
It is a nice chill song.
Yeah, that was Grown Up Fairy Tales by Taylor Bennett.
Featuring Chance the Rapper. He's bisexual.
And he's cool.
And that's why he's here.
He's one of us. See, I think that would help with the exhaustion, having a creative outlet. Like, you know, just having all that kind of just like, this helps with us. You know, we can go through the week and like be like, oh, this has happened. And it all kind of pens up. And then you get here and you get to open the little floodgate and be like, listeners, here's all the stuff that's been going on. Isn't this annoying? And then people can listen and be like, that happens to me too, because it's real and it's valid.
And it's containing and manageable. I think if there's an outlet, that's really important. I mean, some people see a therapist, other people have a particular friend, or they might just get have a lot of fun on the weekends at certain venues. But but no, and I know for a fact that we have some listeners who listen to us every week who have the opportunity to process all that bi stuff as they listen to the show.
And hear maybe some of their experiences, which, because our community, like, we've got the lowest numbers of coming out across the board. Like, I read one thing that's actually only 22% of bisexual people come out. It's over 70% for gays and lesbians.
22%.
Right. Yeah, that was the recent studies that were coming out. So,
did they say anything about, like, the 22 who come out as bi, is there a percentage of those that identify as gay or lesbian or straight?
No, it didn't go into that. But it did say they think bisexuals who have not come out but identify as bisexual make up over half of the LGBT community.
Yeah.
Which says something about why the numbers are even greater in terms of sort of mental ill health and substance abuse and suicide for people who identify as bi.
You know, I'd never really understood that until quite recently. I mean, like, you know, my mental health issues are very separate to my sexuality, or so I've always thought. And I was kind of like, that's really interesting that bisexual people, particularly women, are more prone to, you know, to mental health issues. Until this last couple of weeks, when I've experienced a little bit of prejudice because I was bi, for the first time I'm like, I get it. And that feeling of absolute isolation. Because my wife is gay and very much gay and is very supportive, which is awesome. But I was also like just sitting on my couch yesterday after reading that article, just kind of going far out.
But see how there are moments where something particularly hurtful happens and then we're reminded, oh, that's right, minority stress within the minority group.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it gets normalised.
And it happens in every minority group.
Yeah.
Because I think, from what I can understand, from what I've read about the studies, it's when you feel isolated and cut off, but you also feel like your issues aren't real, you don't seek help for them, because you don't. And I think the issue with being bisexual and the biphobia that can occur in queer spaces is those are the places we're told we should go to for help.
Yeah.
So when we feel that we can't actually get help there, that we have to be quiet about ourselves, that kind of means that we just kind of turn it all inwards. And that's really harmful. Everyone who, you know, has ever had to deal with coming out and all the anxiety and stress and fear you feel up until that point when you start to realize that you're not quite the same as everybody else, and what is that going to mean for you and for your future and for your chances of happiness, that starts to happen really young.
Mm. And is that what you call internalized biphobia? Would you go as far as saying that's internalized biphobia?
Well, I just think, well, it's internalized discrimination or internalized marginalization. I think it becomes more like, you know, you might not be able to identify it as that you are bisexual at that point, just that it's different. And I think, you know, when you actually start saying bisexual and hear the response, then it's more clearly biphobia, I guess.
Right.
So I suppose also just the fact that we live in a world that does kind of suggest that all sexuality is monosexual and that you can only be attracted to one gender. Hearing that when you're growing up and realizing you're not that, even if you can't identify why, it can be depressing because you're being told that something's not right with you.
Mm.
Yes.
Like, and even the people who, you know, are grouping together because they're being told they're not right and they want to prove everybody wrong, they still don't think you're right.
Yeah.
But there's something, sometimes I think there's something in my experience specific about biphobia within the queer community, and not so much the straight community do I experience this, but the specific discrimination experience I have is that it's something sort of comical or not to be taken seriously or laughable or something like that.
I think there's also an element of distrust. I think within the queer community, which is like, you are going to hurt me somehow by the sheer nature of your sexuality, that somehow that is going to cause me pain, therefore I will not, I don't like
or it. Or that you're being dishonest. I think, so from what I've heard from my mum's cousin, who's quite a queen in his 50s, and he was a big advocate when he was growing up, and he was saying, if someone said they were bisexual, you're like, no, sweetheart, no, you're not, you're gay. Because the idea was that bisexual men were saying that, or gay men were saying they're bisexual to still kind of give themselves the out of like having a normal life. And so it was seen as kind of being a traitor, of not being willing to commit. And of course, how many of those men were actually bisexual? It's hard to say.
Because we go along with the comment about just being gay because the fight can be exhausting. And I can relate to that totally. I have at times not corrected people when I know that I never identify as gay. I never have. But I know people at times they've referred to me as gay, someone who I actually introduced myself as bi to, and I decided not to correct that. And that's the thing about the activism and the bi exhaustion, isn't it? It's like, do I want to interrupt the flow of this conversation? I want to get to bloody something else.
And like, you're trying to be accepting and I don't want to like get you on the defensive because that could go badly for me.
Yeah.
That's a big one as well. Like, I don't want to make this uncomfortable for me by having you turn against me.
Yeah.
I think it's a protection thing. And also, we're human beings. We want to belong. And sometimes it just feels like it's easier to belong to the queer community if you just go along with it and just be like, I'm gay. Let's just go with that because that's easier than having to sit there and explain everything. Oh, we just got a message.
Oh, did we? Hey guys, do you think the LG community have an issue with bisexuals because it is the norm? Looking back at ancient times, why do we only accept one side?
The ancient Greeks used to have sex with everybody.
This is true.
There's a few examples as well in mythology from Japan and China. But as far as the norm, how do we know it's the norm? Because, you know...
Who's the norm?
I think what they're saying is that is it the norm to have an issue with bisexuality?
Oh.
Is it the black sheep of the family?
It's the norm to have an issue with homosexuality? Come on, guys.
Within the straight community. Well, maybe it's because we've grown up with, the last 20 years or however much longer it's been, is that like bisexuality was the fringe within the fringe. And that's just like, that's how the LG community is that you just don't trust those people. Is it because of that? We've kind of been trained into that?
I think it's a visibility issue, and I think it's something maybe we can like talk a bit more in depth like after the next break. But I guess for me, it's kind of this idea that because bisexual people are less likely to come out, when people talk about bisexuals, they're not thinking of anyone they know. It's just this idea. So that's one of the reasons that we're here to talk. Because, when someone talks about bisexuality, they can be like, well, actually, there's a radio show. There's three bisexuals who talk on about their experiences. Mm. It's real. It's not just some shadow group, which I think is what that's how the gay and lesbian community has seen their rights accelerate over the last 20 years. It's been the fastest acceleration of civil rights that's ever been seen. Because people suddenly notice that, we were in every group, because you see examples of homosexuality and same-sex attraction in every social species in every continent. So you couldn't avoid it. You weren't just talking about some, shadowy organization. You're talking about your cousin or your aunt or your colleague. Mm. And so when you were saying those things about how disgusting it was, you were talking about somebody who could hear you, who cared about you and was hurt.
And experienced your comments. And it was real. So if you want to continue to keep listening to three very real bisexuals.
So real.
We will catch you on the other side of this song. Stick around, you're on Triple Bypass on Joy. This is Joy 94.9 with Triple Bypass, and you're here with Anthony.
And Christina.
And Ruby.
And we're talking about bi-exhaustion, the things that make us exhausted. About being bisexual.
I know that late nights and lots of sugar makes me really exhausted.
Yeah, and one of the things we were touching on just before that great song by, is it Halsey or Halsey?
I've always said Halsey, but I'm not entirely sure if that's correct either.
One of those. She's bisexual and she's adorable, and that was her covering Justin Bieber.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I was just like...
Are you a Bieber believer? Are you a
I know that he was in town.
Bieber.
Didn't he like haul out early? I heard he left early.
Well, he's kind of not the most friendliest celebrity.
He's a bit
of
a dick, actually, isn't he?
Thank you.
Yeah. Look, I reckon any young guy, especially You know, not all men, but especially a young white guy who starts getting that much attention at that age is going to have some pretty big issues to come over.
Yeah, true. True.
Get 20 years of drinking behind you, buddy, like I have, and we'll see where those abs go.
Yeah, my six-pack's been replaced by a keg. It's a nice keg.
Kegs are great. More for everybody.
That's right. We got another message in, and this is actually really, really interesting, from a viewer. I won't go on to saying viewer. It's a listener. Just something listeners may want to hear you guys talk about. I don't agree, but have heard people say this in the past. That's just a bit of disclaimer from this person. And the message is, I have a friend who is bisexual and has never been with a woman. She is engaged now to a man. How can you be bisexual and not even have kissed a woman? Is this something that lesbians and gay men in the community struggle with? How can you be a bisexual without the sexual experience of the same gender? How can we make the queer community see it from the bisexual side? She hasn't ever been to a march or fully come out. Is she a true member of the community, even though she has the right to marry?
I imagine hearing people talk about it like that makes it a lot less likely to go to a march.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just saying. I know.
I don't know. This person is not saying that they agree with this.
Yeah, no. I'm saying that. Like, yeah. I'm just commenting very much on the idea. And I suppose going back to Robin Oakes' definition of bisexuality is that, you know, it doesn't have to be to the same, you know, the attraction does not need to be to the same extent or in the same way, yes, or at the same time. Or like, you know, you can only feel attraction to women sometimes, and you can acknowledge that attraction and not want to act on it because of, for whatever reason, because you're in a relationship with a man, because you don't know any queer women around you, because there's a lot less queer women than there are straight men just across the board.
Because it's summer and not spring. It doesn't matter what your reason is. And I think that's an important point to let all the bisexuals know that it doesn't have to be the attraction need to be identical on both sides for
it's
you
not
to
a
be
scale.
It's not for you to be bisexual. Like,
this is something that's come out a few times. I've actually I had a similar a girl ask me that she's with her boyfriend and she thinks she might be bisexual, but she doesn't want to use the word in case she's not, because she doesn't want to go and date a girl because she's with a boyfriend, but she just isn't sure. And I was just like, you know, bisexuality doesn't mean you've got to go and make sure you kiss a girl for every guy you kiss.
Yes,
like, you know, if you can just realize in yourself that you have the capacity to love a woman in that way. And also, sex is not everything about attraction. You know, sex is not the be-all and end-all of attraction at all. And you can be, you know, there is romantic attraction, which doesn't involve sex at all. And that's still attraction, and that is still valid.
Yeah, I think you can be heterosexual and biromantic if we're going to take
that. But I would just call that, again, like, well, you haven't got to identify that, but that's still bisexual, I think. But it's in the big umbrella where we just kind of scoop up everybody.
Yes. Well, it is, and it's part of your psychosexual development, isn't it, to get to a place where you can know that. But I think for me, my 20s, I definitely had, you know, that process where, you know, if I was with a girl or a woman, I needed to be with a man. And that's the way I understood that made sense to me to express my bisexuality at the time.
It does seem to be as also the way that everyone else thinks we should be expressing it, which is why we always get threesome requests.
Yeah, true.
Because like that way you can be the most bi you can be.
Yeah, screw you, world. I was following a prescription here.
Well, I didn't actually fully actually like viscerally know that I was bi until I kissed a woman. It wasn't until the first time I kissed a woman that I was just kind of like,
ta-da.
I kind of like this. I want to do other things. Oh my gosh, what does this mean? Even though I knew kind of emotionally and maybe a little bit intellectually that I was attracted to women before that, it didn't really become actual fact until I had that experience. So I actually admire those who have only had an experience with a person of the opposite sex or even a person of the same sex and know that they're bisexual.
Right. So for me, it was like it didn't even occur to me that the way I was feeling about, like, girls I knew wasn't just huge amounts of friendly affection. You know, like, I just really
just
loved
girly
them.
Friendship.
Well, yeah. But, you know, that, and we get told that bisexuals, like, or women just confuse friendship for love and stuff like that because, you
we're
know,
so stupid.
And, like, yeah, because this idea that.
Too emotional.
Just so emotional. It's like, yeah, emotional depth is great, guys. But I guess, like, you know, as far as the exhaustion that comes with having, I think the issue is that bisexuals have to come out. We can never just come out once. It's like this constant process every time, because every time someone sees you with somebody, they'll assume, based on who you're with, what your sexuality is, and they're generally going to get it wrong. And so it's the thing of actually no. And I think that's the exhaustion. I'm just so tired of saying actually no. I'm not straight / gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, let me explain this to you.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really tiring.
But also there can be some, we can get sort of lulled into feeling guilty around, because I know I've sort of worried that I haven't sort of represented myself well enough, and I take it upon myself, like as if I'm responsible for their confusion, yeah, or their misidentifying me. And
yeah.
We are advocates for our community, but we are not examples. We cannot speak for the entirety of the bisexual community, yeah, because we just have our own experiences to draw from.
We speak for ourselves.
We speak for ourselves,
and for
exactly.
The articles, yeah, that we regurgitate.
Yeah. Yes. But to go back to this question, how can you be bisexual without the sexual experience of the same gender? And is she a true member of the community? I think so. I think so, because I don't necessarily think that that physical expression of your sexuality negates or confirms. Either negates or confirms your identity. I know a gay man who actually has never had sex with another man.
Yeah.
Because he's never had sex with anyone, but still identifies as gay and is completely accepted into the community.
And I guess, like, that's one of the things I'd be a bit curious about. Why does it matter so much? Like, why is this person's history and past being going over with a fine-tooth comb to find evidence as to if she's allowed in or not?
Because we go into this meaning-making process, and we need symbols and images, and because we perform our
sexuality.
We need,
like, the stamp on our wrist to get in the gate.
Right, yeah. The purple star on the
pink triangle.
I won't get it. But we perform gender, don't we, and we perform our sexuality, and I think we have this sort of stereotype and sort of image of what gay might look like, or lesbian, maybe even trans, but for bi, I think that the people are left sort of confused.
We're not 100-footers. You can't pick us from a distance.
And maybe that's because, again, we don't come out. And I think that's the issue, because even though it is exhausting to have to come out on almost a daily basis, even in the community, because when you're in the queer community, people assume you're gay. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, that's just kind of how it is. So it's actually like, actually, no, this is what happened. This is what happened. I actually know this is what it is. And like, you know, and having to at times decide not to say anything at all because you're tired and you just don't have to deal with feeling isolated in the place that you're supposed to be accepted. But the more people actually start to hear, no, I'm a bisexual person and what you're saying is actually hurtful, like I'm standing in front of you now, you can't pretend I'm not invisible because I'm right here. You know, that kind of, it's the censure. It's how the gay and lesbian movement has seen this huge rapid advance in civil rights, because you can't ignore us when we're in your face and yelling at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was Harvey Milk's premise, wasn't it? To come out, be out, be visible.
Be out, be visible, yeah.
If it's safe, obviously.
Yeah. Yes.
I have an interesting story, actually, about that, the exhaustion of having to explain yourself. I had a friend very recently, a couple of days ago, actually call me. She now lives in Adelaide. We're very good friends. And she very casually let me know that she was bisexual. She came out to me, and I was like on the phone trying not to squeal and jump around going, what is this? What is this? I kind of knew a little bit, but wasn't about to say to her, you're bi. But she said to me, it's like, She's only come out to a few of us. I'm like one of the few that she's come out to, which again makes me feel very privileged. But she said that any time that she's mentioned it to very close friends of hers, she gets the response of kind of like, prove it.
Yeah, that's still going around.
You know, it's still going around. And she said, that's why do I need to do that?
And I think that's the feeling I was getting from that question, this idea of like, she has to prove that she's worthy of being in the community when, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Just like, it's just, but that being said, there are a lot of people, you know, gay and lesbian and trans and intersex people who are huge bi advocates as well.
Oh, most definitely.
We're going to talk about our bi allies when we return after a track and some messages. Stick around.
Oh, this is a good one.
Hi, this is Rob Nils, and you're listening to Australia's LGBTI radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks, Millsy. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. And I'm Anthony.
I'm Christina.
And I'm Ruby.
Have we had Millsy on the show before?
No, we haven't. Is he bi?
I don't know.
He could be. We can have Julia on the show, Julia D'Amaro.
Can we?
She's bisexual.
We can.
Oh,
we
are.
She's been out about it a bit.
Julia, we are coming for you.
We are.
You're leaving Eurovision, but we'll find a place for you right here.
Prepare yourself.
So I've been excited about that for all week.
We've been talking about bi-exhaustion, the things that make us exhausted, but there are also some things that we can do to lighten the load, or that people can do.
Before we do that, we've just got one more message that I'd really like to answer.
It's the message says, how do we make LG people understand? To some of them, bisexuals who marry men, bisexual women, I take it, who marry men get the perks that LG people don't get. It's like, say, I'm gay with straight privilege. Okay. Marrying a person of the opposite sex where you're bisexual does not automatically give you straight privilege, in my opinion.
Well, because you're not straight.
Well, because you're not straight, exactly. Even though you're in a heterosexual relationship, and if you're in an environment in which you have to say that you're heterosexual, you're actually denying yourself.
But there is,
that's not privileged to me.
I agree with that, because then that internal struggle never goes away. But there is something about having a foot in both camps and being able to feel perhaps safer if people assume that you're heterosexual.
Of course. But I guess with that point, you know people are assuming things about you that aren't true.
Right. Yeah.
And that if they find out, what might they say? You know, I think, yeah. Anthony, you mentioned a while ago at the Midsummer Festival that, you know, one of your friends were talking about someone and he'd found out his fiance was bisexual and their response was like, oh, so is the marriage off?
Right.
Oh, that's right. Right. Yeah. You know, yeah. So because this idea that by withholding her sexuality, she was lying and that was yes. justification. So I guess this idea of, you know, do we have straight privilege? Firstly, you know, everyone is assumed straight until proven otherwise. But, like, as far as being able to marry as well, like, if you're a bisexual person and you do get married because you found your partner, how would it feel to know that your community resents you for it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and also to know that you're just lucky that that your partner happened to be the one that you can marry.
Yeah.
And it could have gone the other way. And that for a lot of people it has.
Yeah.
Like, I think having your foot in both camps means that you know what it is like to be in the camp that is being pushed aside.
Yes.
And it also means that you kind of have to just kind of sit in no man's land. And even if you're married, you're still kind of, you're not ever a part of that other camp.
Yeah.
You're not, you might be an ambassador, but you're not a citizen, if that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah. And it may from the outside look as if you are experiencing that so-called heterosexual privilege. But I can tell you that being in a straight relationship in that kind of environment, I don't feel privileged.
I feel cut off from my queer community when I do that.
Yeah, yeah. If I'm in an environment where I cannot tell, if I was with a man, and this has happened to me a couple of times before, and he was a bit of a dick and told me that I couldn't actually say that I was bisexual, which at the time, because I was young and stupid, I agreed not to do. But there was that part of me that's just like, I'm not being true. I'm not doing what Oscar Wilde said that we should do, which is embrace our true selves. Because to not do so is to deny yourself, and to deny yourself is death.
And I think we build a relationship with that struggle where sometimes it feels more intense than other times. And when we're feeling affirmed, then it doesn't feel so terrible.
Mm. Yeah, and I think, and that's how we can move through it. Because for me, when I was at university and there was like the queer lounge and I was dating a guy, so I didn't want to talk about that in the queer lounge in case they looked at me and they kind of closed off a bit. So I was having the straight privilege of being in a relationship where I didn't have to worry about someone shouting at me on the street. But I also was losing a lot in that I couldn't go to the people who I felt I'd been told that should be welcoming me and let and find and like have them discover something. And given that's like, you know, it's again, and I think that what can change with that is being able to actually come out and say, when you're in a place where you have the strength and the support to do so, actually, I'm bisexual and this does affect me, because that's how change happens. When you can personalize an issue, when it's not just talking about some group that has no face, you know, not this like this shady group of foxes that steal from both the hen houses, when it's actually when you realize that you're talking about particular people, which is why it was a big deal. Kirsten Stewart came out recently. She's like, I'm not confused. Here's how bisexuality works. That's a big deal. It's always a big deal because it puts a face on it and you can't pretend it's not real or ignore it when you've got people on big platforms or tiny little platforms in our case, very like little soapboxes, being like, by the way, this is a real thing that exists and this is how we feel about it.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people out there who feel this way about it and how they feel is real and that is valid and they are allowed to be upset about that and we should be doing better.
Yeah.
So are we asking our bi brothers and sisters to come out?
I think that's difficult. I think we're asking our LG brothers and sisters to make it a place where they feel they can.
Yeah,
nice.
And I think LG people also need to remember that it's not a choice for us either. Just as it's not a choice to be gay, we didn't choose to be bisexual. This is the lot that we've been given.
And if we did choose it, that should be fine too.
Yes.
Well that's it.
Like, you know, this idea like I wasn't born this way, but hey, maybe if I had chosen that, you know, I'm actually going to try and date more than one gender.
Yeah.
That's okay too. Like, I shouldn't have to hide it like it's some kind of deformity that I've been putting up with, you know?
I'm not in a freak show.
And I feel like this is happening as well. Like, this idea that we have to kind of try and you know, the way we try and straighten ourselves to fit into marriage. Mm. We should not have to change ourselves to fit into the our community. It is LGBT. We're in there. Mm-hmm. I as well. A, you know, we are in there. We've always been in there.
Yep.
Just maybe look at why you might have an issue with bisexual people, if you do, and really question, is it that important?
And it's your
why
issue.
Why does it matter to you?
And it's your issue.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Projection is something that happens often.
Yeah. Why would you want to make someone feel bad about themselves when they just want to be part of something and feel the connection that you join the community to feel?
And I think this is the thing too, us being bisexual is not taking anything away from either the straight or the gay community. We're not taking your gayness away from you. We're not taking your straightness away from you. We're just existing. Yes. And like I said, we were talking about earlier, we advocate for our queer community all the time. Advocate for us.
Although one of my gay friends did say to me once that I make him feel very, very straight sometimes.
Oh, really?
I did take something away from him that day.
Oh, dear. But okay. I suppose, like, but when it comes to actually having these conversations, no matter how exhausting they are, I've had a gay friend who recently had a friend come to him as bisexual, and he called me while very drunk to tell me that he had understood and had known how to talk to her because of the conversations we'd had.
Awesome.
And when I talked to him, because when you've heard the words and you've processed it and you've actually heard a real live person say, this is actually can how it be felt, and it's not, this is just for me, but when someone else comes forward, you're just like, I actually have a bit of an idea now.
Yeah.
It's not just an unknown. It's not just an alien quantity.
Yeah.
It's something that you've already kind of gotten a glimpse of.
Yeah. So a big shout out to our gay and straight allies.
And trans and intersex and everybody.
Intersex. Yes. Because I have seen recently a couple, I've got a couple of gay and bisexual friends, like one of them's gay, one of them's bisexual, and the gay partner has been actually very vocal about supporting the bisexual, their bisexual partner and the community on Facebook and Twitter and stuff. So keep doing
lovely.
That because that's awesome.
Yes, we always welcome your support. And we're going to be saying goodbye soon, I just want to give a shout out first to Katie, who's coming up next. I'm Miss Chantelaine. And she's going to be interviewing Kat and Leisha from This Way North, an amazing band. So tune in
for that.
They're
playing live.
They're playing live. It's going to be so cool.
God, they're getting us set up in the studio across from us right now, guys. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. They're bi allies. I can tell.
Yeah.
We hope
Bye
so.
Guys.
So thanks for another great show. Yeah. You've been here on Triple Bypass. Tune in next week. We've got some interesting stuff coming up for you then.
Yeah, and I think we're going out another song.
We are. We are going to listen to one of our favourite bisexuals.
Freddie Mercury. That's right, guys. He's a bisexual person.
Totally is. What a song was. About everything.
That's right.
That Bottom Girls was not platonic.
We love you guys.
So thanks
for the messaging in.
This has been Triple Bypass, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.